You're listening to audio from Citizens Church, located in Plano, Texas. For more information about this ministry or to give to this ministry, please visit citizenschurch.com.
My name is Michael Snetzer, and I serve here as the pastor responsible for recovery, and we are delighted that you've joined us tonight as we continue our series, No Longer Gnostics. Our ministry is a ministry that seeks to provide community for those who are pursuing redemption in Christ from the otherwise enslaving interplay of sin and suffering. And I think what I'd like to say about that tonight is that life is hard. And to have to go through life by yourself, alone, makes it even harder. And so we desire to provide a community that receives you in the midst of your difficulty. We say it here a lot, that it's a place where it's okay not to be okay, where you can put down the mask, the facade, and come honestly, because God meets us where we're at, not where we're supposed to be. But he also loves us enough not to leave us there. And so we are a community that wants to lead you to a better place, that we want to counsel you according to the word of God, because we believe that God has good intentions in terms of how he wants to lead us. He is the good shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort us, meaning that he brings direction and correction to our lives. And so that means that his word often confronts us where we're at. But the confrontation is not because he is against us, but that he is for us, that he desires good things for us. And so here's what I believe with all my heart. In order to listen to someone, you have to believe that they have good intentions for you. Otherwise, if you believe that they're out to get you, then you're probably not going to listen to what they have to say. You're going to constantly be on the defensive. And so my hope tonight, as we are in this series, No Longer Gnostics, which you may or may not know what that means at this point, which is fine. We're not expecting that you would, is that it would, when it says no longer, that it would move us to a better place, that it would move us to a place of health as a community and as individuals within that community. But we have to believe that God has good intentions for us, and you have to believe that those that are trying to lead you are trying to lead you according to his heart and according to his ways, because we believe that operating in this broken world the way that he's called us to is the way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so the only way, really, ultimately, to be rescued from this otherwise enslaving interplay of sin and suffering is to be found in Christ. And so last week we talked about knowing God through Christ, knowing God, that is the way out. And so you can come in here for a lot of different reasons. And what we want to put before you is a better reason, maybe, to be here than actually what you may have come in here originally for. All right. We are in this series called No Longer Gnostics. Before I even get to that, let me just say, hey, there's a podcast out there. If you don't catch anything that I said, it's called Culture Matters. They just did an episode that Isaac Adams was featured on, along with Adam and Tamarcus, pastors here at Citizens Church, that is talking about recovering, right, community. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is recovering healthy community. So in our post-pandemic digital age, and I've just scribbled some things down here, so forgive me for just if I'm all over the place. We have come up with innovative, right, ways to stay connected. The question I want to pose tonight is this. Is a virtual community better than that which it seeks to replace? And the answer is this. It's better than nothing, but not better than the real thing. Let me just give you some examples, and you can answer for yourself what you think. If you have a baby and a mom, they can be together in the same space. The mother can be holding the child, right? And there is a type of physical connection, a type of physical bonding that happens in that. Or you can separate them in different rooms, and you can show the baby an image of mom. Is that the same or different? It's different. Is it better or worse? Worse. I mean, come on. Right? Okay. Look. Is it better than nothing? Probably. To hear mom's voice. If you have someone in the hospital during COVID and no one can go in the room, but people can peek through the window and wave, is that the same as being in the same room, holding somebody's hand, whispering in their ear, rubbing their head? Is that the same or different? It's different. Is it better or worse? It's worse. Is it better than nothing? Yeah. If you have an invitation to dinner, right? Let's say just think of somebody you might want to invite you to dinner. We all have those people, right? We could give the Jesus answer, right? But yeah, I mean, we have other people. Like some of you might be, oh, the President of the United States. Some of you are like, I wouldn't accept that invitation. But that's not what this is about. But who's that person? Who's that family? Who's that? Would it be, royalty? Would it be a famous? Now, what if they said, hey, we're going to give you a virtual option. Is that the same or different? Different. Is it better or worse? It's not as good. Is it better than nothing? Yeah. What about a sports game, right? Now, this is where it starts getting tricky, right? Because some people are like, well, I think it might be better to watch a sports game on TV, right? Because you don't have to walk so far from the parking lot, and because like all that takes effort, right? But is it the same experience? Maybe we might have a better view, but more close up, but the experience is different. A concert, right? Would you say watching a concert on your TV is the same as being at a concert? You know, I have a daughter who lives out of state, and I can talk to her on the phone. We can do FaceTime. Is that better than nothing? Yeah. But do I really want to hug her neck? Yeah. What about, like, just in terms of, let's take it out of that realm and just in terms of maybe church life a little bit. Is it the same or different if we were to put a video camera out here and it's going out to people in their respective communities? Is that better or worse? Maybe there's some advantages to that, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Well, in part it's not the same because you're not really here. Like, I can't tell you how many people I've asked, hey, are you still at the church? Yeah, we're still at the church. I haven't seen you around in a while. Well, we don't actually go to the church, but we're at the church. Well, no, You're not at the church. You're at home. You're at home. And it's not really, I mean, there's no way for me to really know you by showing you clips of images that are, you know, a certain background, and it's just for a certain length of time, and I have something prepared. You don't know, unless you're here, what I was like out in the foyer, right? Whether I was welcoming or, you know, I mean, there's been pastors that I've watched on TV, and I'm like, they got in a lot of trouble just because they were not great people, character-wise. You know, because you don't know them. I like their teaching. And what about for us that are watching on the other side? Can you really be known? Like, nobody even knows you're there. Like, if we had a camera in here, I would have no idea who, like, that you're even here. Neither would anybody else here. And so what I'm saying is that it's better than nothing, but it is different. And let's not buy into the lie that it's the same. Because what I want to put before you is that there's a richness to being together. A richness in being known and knowing people, which cannot fully be true in a virtual reality. So tonight we're going to be talking about virtual community in our No Longer Gnostics series. We are exploring how ancient false teachings can creep into our churches today, shaping our views of counseling and community, as well as lead to unhealthy practices or habits. We touched on counseling last week, how we can approach counseling in a way that is more Gnostic. And again, as we talk about no longer Gnostics, the hope is that we would be moved to greater health. This week, we're looking at community and the practice of gathering together as God's people. We touched on this a few weeks ago when we taught through Matthew 18, talking about community. It says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." I have just been blown away over that one sentence this week. You know, it's talking about the characteristics of Christ's covenant community as designed by God. And so what it's saying is that as we are operating, whenever it says in my name, that means we're operating the way that he has designed us to operate, that he is there manifesting himself through us. Amazing. Through the people of God. That he is there among us. And so we, as we're operating the way he's called us to operate, he's doing something by the Holy Spirit among us. He's changing people. He's shaping people. You know, as I am just reflecting on Matthew 18, like how much of that is actually possible virtually or remotely? It starts off in Matthew 18 and they're like in conflict. Do you know what happens? Like if you're in isolation and I'm isolation, that's like a party of one and a party of one. Guess there's no conflict. You just do what you want when you want. Guess what happens whenever people come together? There's an opportunity for conflict. That's why I always tell single guys, like, consider getting a roommate. You're going to get way too used to doing what you want when you want, and then you're going to get married, and it's going to be a rude awakening. Now, I can tell girls that too. You know, I can't be as firm. I need to be a little more gentle. But there he is among us. So what are you after? It's a great question. Are you after him Remember, we said pursuing redemption in Christ. Or are you after something else? Because there's something really special that happens when God's people gather together. Something that is unique that can't happen with just one person. Like, can I confess to myself? Yes. But is that what it's talking about to practice the one another's? No. How do I greet one another? I can greet remotely, but is it the same or different? Different. I can welcome. But it's different welcoming you to a virtual meeting versus inviting you into my house. Inviting you into the house of God. Welcoming you at the door. And so if God is who we're after, there's something really special that happens when God's people, a uniqueness to that. That doesn't happen that we gather in the name of a business or anything else, even though it might be among Christians. This is a slogan out of the non-gospel recovery culture. They kind of smack you in the face a little bit. Sometimes it's in a good confrontational kind of way, and they talk about suiting up and showing up. I misread it earlier, and I have in my notes, I thought, oh, does it say shut up? They say that too. They say, what they'll say is, like, if you're new, like, you don't know anything, or you wouldn't be here. That's how in your face that they are. Like, if you know, you don't yet know the way you ought to know, or you wouldn't be here. Talking about people who are in there just coming out of a binge, right? We look at that a little differently. Like, we want to hear from our newcomers. We want to get to know you. We want to understand you while we try to lead you to a better place. Okay, so we're not insensitive like that. But there is an idea of suiting up and showing up. It's like, there's going to be days when you don't feel like coming. What would be better would just be to stay on the couch. To just sit back. And I'm not saying that there aren't times to stay home as God leads. But I'm just saying, is it our desire to experience God more? To be shaped by him, to be in a community that we're going to be shaped by into the image of God, into human flourishing. And so we need the influence of the body of Christ as a regular part. We need that. Now, is it possible, like I was thinking about, you know, the difference between having food and everybody kind of coming in and snacking as they wish versus sitting down at the table together. There's a difference in that. We can all be fed by just coming in and grabbing some food, but there is something about fellowshipping together and being in it together that is more special than just on our own. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We need one another to sharpen one another. In our No Longer Gnostic series, we are focusing on the fact that we are physically embodied creatures. This visual kind of gives us the idea that in a biblical anthropology, we are physically embodied. And we are physically embodied, whether we're either physically present in relationships or, in this context, virtually or remotely. In other words, the interplay between being physically embodied, and being engaged in relationships. And so we are physically embodied creatures. We are more than body. We're body and soul. But we're not less than body. We are not fully human without a body. And we are driving home the point that what we do with our bodies matters. And remember, we said when we started this series, this series was birthed because I was seeing this disconnect between people saying, hey, I'm great spiritually, but my relationships are a wreck. I'm addicted to this. There's a disconnect between our spiritual lives and what we do physically, how we act out of that, which includes how we are engaged in community. That what we do with our bodies physically is an expression of what we worship. There is a body and soul connection. They are not just distinct, but they are connected. Another aspect is in being physically embodied is that we have limitations. Like we can only be in one place at one time. Last week, we touched on the idea of having to know, thinking that if we just have more information, which trying to know everything is the idea of wanting to be omniscient, which is, I'm gonna try to say this word, communicable attribute of God, meaning that it's not passed to humans. Only he knows everything, and he wants, as we talked about, us to trust him with what he tells us and not to need to know everything, because that'll drive us crazy. Because the temptation is to be like God. But this week, we're talking more about the incommunicable characteristic of omnipresence. In other words, part of a virtual reality allows us to think that we're in more than one place at one time. Now, I'm just going to, I might come back to this, but just the idea of the way that modern dating works, right? Like, you're not limited to just being in one place at one time. You can cover the entire nation. Flip, 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 flip. I can be in multiple states at one time. I can meet this girl in this state and meet this girl in this state and meet this girl in this state. It's a temptation to be everywhere all the time. And I think really, I mean, this is a side note. I think it's a fear of missing out. And it's a distrust of God. That in your physical limitations, that he's sovereign enough, that if he has this person for you, that, and I'm not saying that God hasn't used that technology in his, I'm just saying, is it trying to move us in a direction that is saying, hey, this is better than what it's trying to replace, than actually meeting somebody face to face? All right. Connection. There's a lot of talk out there currently, not just Christian circles, but in the culture, that is talking about this idea, and this is from a guy's website. I just looked it up. Dr. Michael Archer's. This is where people start getting really excited. It's like, oh man. So it says this, the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's human connection. That's what's going on in the culture right now. So the culture's saying that it's a lack of connection. And you know what? I believe that they are tapping into something. They're just not tapping into the whole thing. That's part of the fertile ground, but it's not the whole enchilada. So on this website, it talks about this rat park experience in the 1980s, where psychologists put rats in a cage and they put a substance in there, two different types of liquids. One of them had an addictive substance in it and one of them didn't. And what they found is that the rat in isolation became addicted and even at times killed himself through the use of the substance. But if they put a rat in a community and gave them stuff to do, that though they might have used, they didn't use to the same degree, and none of them died. And so on his website, he said, human beings crave connection, which is true. Bonding, true. And love, true. When meaningful connection is missing from our lives, an addiction may, because there's lots of different ways that we might try to medicate that, begin to fill the void. In other words, there's different types of poverty. There's poverty that has to do with wealth of resources, but there's also like relational poverty. And so when we go into a situation doing missions, it's not just about providing like for physical needs. It's like connecting them relationally to a people, to a family system that's healthy. And what he says on his website, the good news is that this is something that can be overcome. So to them, the good news is that we can connect people to people, and that's going to be what we need most. And that's just lacking. It's part of the issue, but it's just not all of the issue. We concede to that to the degree. I mean, and because he is tapping into something that's true, guess what? He has no spots available. No longer taking patients until 2024. But this is nothing new. Like what he's tapping into is nothing new. And there's something more in terms of connection. It's not just connection with others, it's connection with God. It's connection with God. There's a disconnect between the spiritual and the physical. And here's the good news for us, is that the doors of the church are open. His counseling practice might not be open, but the doors of the church are open. And we agree to some degree with what he's saying. We just say that it's more than that. And so welcome. There's a place where you can come and find connection. So our four goals while you are with us here in recovery is that you would connect relationally. We say that that groups are the vehicle through which you have the opportunity to connect relationally, but doesn't guarantee connection. Why? Because it takes effort on your part. You will have to be responsible with the opportunity that you've been given to connect relationally with people that hopefully would extend outside of here. That's why we have these fellowship opportunities for people to connect relationally outside of here. Because it's more than just what we do on a Wednesday. We are called to do life on a daily basis. We actually need that. We might not feel that need. We probably feel that need more in this room than maybe the general just because we are people right now who are suffering in some way, and we feel that need in a more profound way than when we're not. We then want to understand the problem biblically, apply the gospel specifically, and walk in wisdom and accountability. That's what we want to offer here, the opportunity for. In big church, after the pandemic, we came up with this slogan. I'm not sure who did. It's genius. Better together. Better together than apart. One of our core values is that we are a people of presence. So we're not trying to build out a huge virtual option. We have a virtual option for those who, out of necessity, but it's not a good substitute for the real thing. If you have the choice, choose the better. Proverbs 18:1, just talking about this idea of being better together. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. There's a foolishness in not living in community with other people. But it says he seeks his own desire. Why? Because there's no one to get in my way with what I want. And it's saying it's a foolish way to live. Like, do you think health comes in isolation? After the pandemic, I mean, the mental health crisis that's come about that just because of isolation. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." It's not good to be alone. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hebrews 10 24 through 25, talking specifically about the church. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. It becomes habitual. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. I think something happened over the pandemic where people got in the habit of watching online. And now it serves some things. There are some things that we'll talk about that we might believe that it's better, even though we've already demonstrated that it's not. And we get in the habit of that. And what it is saying is that there's a neglect. Like, a lot of us feel like we've been neglected by others, but this is where you're responsible. This is you neglecting your spiritual life by not gathering with the body of Christ. It's a spiritual neglect that's going on. Acts 2, like, how often are we supposed to, like, be together? You know, I often say AA sometimes does run circles around the church because they are there, right? And they're together daily. And I don't want to become AA, but I do want to become what the fullness of what the church is supposed to be. And they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. So you can list the things that they're doing. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, like God was working among them as they're doing these things. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They're together. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, not neglecting physical needs. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with the people. These are physically embodied people who are in a certain place because they believe that it's better. And relating to one another the way that God has called them to relate to one another, and God is doing something in their midst. And God and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So the story of God, we, you know, in the creation, we saw that in the garden, there was a sanctuary, and the man and his wife lived with God, in the presence of God. And then what does sin do through the fall? It separates us. It separates us from God, and it separates us from others. It separates us. It will isolate you. Redemption is that God is with us. God came to us in, like, physically. Did he just send like a digital version of himself here? Like, think about that. He could have, right? You've seen probably on some of these Disney shows and stuff, it's like the godlike figure shows up on the big screen, right? That's not what he did. He actually put on flesh and dwelt among us, like you could touch him. He touched people. He loved people. He showed us what God was like. And in the process of the already but not yet, his people, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, get to show people what God's like. And now the new creation, what we still have to look forward to, is a holy people in a holy place with a holy God. That's a people in a specific place with the one true God. That's what we have to look forward to. Like, I want that day. Why might we think that the digital is better? Now, we say that we're a heart-focused biblical discipleship program. I already said that if you believe that we're against you, we're not. We're for you. And so in no way do I want what we're about to say here, because it's going to go deep, for you to all of a sudden take a defensive posture, because God's confrontation is meant to lead you to a better place, not leave you where you're at. And so as a heart-focused biblical discipleship program, that means that we're digging around in the heart. There are two heart issues that keep us from living the fullness of life. One is called pride. That's what I think I know better than God. And idolatry. I put something else in the place of God. I want something more than I want God. And that's true for all of us. There's things that we, and God is in that process of revealing those things. And so this exercise is meant to help us to see what some of those things are. Not in a condemning way, but in a way that might lead us to life. So why do we think the digital is better? Number one, control, right? Think about the dating apps. I can control what you know about me. I can put whatever pictures I want up. I think this is how it works. I haven't been on a dating app, but I think this is how it works. I think you probably put pictures, you probably put facts up about yourself, the facts you want. I'm guessing it's like a Facebook page. I've got a Facebook, so. You put your best image forward. But is that the real, is that all of you? Is that the real you? Are you gonna put like the not so pleasant things about you up there? No. Why? Because you're fishing, right? You're going fishing. So we want control. We want control with what people, and I can control that better than actually like doing life with you. I'm actually not a fan of having completely separate like guys and girls and like in the body of Christ. I think there needs to be fellowship opportunities for guys and girls together. That way it's not like seeming like we're going to get married if somebody says, you know, hey, let's, you know, go grab a burger or something. No, we're just friends. Like, this is what we do. And do it in community. Convenience, right? Did you ever think about, like, on demand, right? Like, whenever I want. I don't have to wait for the movie to come out. I don't have to, I can, like, anytime I want it, I can have it. Now, like, you think about something like pornography and how much of these things are true. Like, I can control. I can have it on demand. The other thing is, it's just, like, easier, right? There's no relational strife. They think the world of me, surely. They'll do anything I want. It takes work otherwise. It just is easy. But is it better? In some ways, we might think it is better. Why? Because of those things. Coverage, which we talked about. Like, I can be in multiple places at the same time. Or seemingly. I can't be, but I seemingly can be. It's safer. Right? Now, we're going to talk about when we choose. There are times where it's necessarily true. Like, when there was a real pandemic, okay? Real people were dying. That's a real threat. So there might be a time where, out of necessity, we have to resort to these things, but it's meant to be, I'll just use from the podcast, meant to be an IV to sustain us. It's not, you're not meant to stay on the IV forever. Right? The goal is to get off the IV, to get back together. And then shame. You know what? There's been times in my life when I haven't had a great week that I've been in my sin. And I can think about the church one of two ways, as a place to run to or a place to run from. Like, a place that I can run to that like, I want to run back to God. I want to run back to his people. I want to run back to being shaped by his word. I want to run back to repenting and to run back to sharing communion with God's people and worshiping God. But there are also, the temptation is to not want to be seen. I don't want anybody to see me like this. And so I stay in the darkness. I stay in the shadows because I don't want to be seen. I don't really want to be known. I don't want anybody to see me like that. We find reasons, actually, to not do what we want, to not do what we don't want to do, and to do what we want to do. Did you know that? Like, it's kind of a heartbreaking realization, because that's true about people. They'll give you a million different reasons. They seemingly plausibly good reasons, but people do, they find reasons to do what they want to do. Like, people will move mountains to do what they want to do. Proverbs 22:13 says, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside, I shall be killed in the streets. Do you know what that says to me? I can't go to recovery because I might get in a car wreck. Yeah, I could get in a car wreck. That is a reality, but I probably just don't want to go. I can find a million reasons not to do what I don't want to do. But if I want to be there, I'm going to find out a way. I'm going to figure out a way to be there. If that's what I really want. Are you trying to do this alone? My encouragement is to not miss the beauty of the forest because of the ugliness of some of its trees. Listen, all of us, if we've been in church long enough, have hurt from people in the church. People don't always act like Christ. I wish we did. Wish I did. My family can testify that I don't. I don't always reflect him. But do I want to be shaped into being like him? And so the church is a beautiful thing. It's the bride of Christ. That we need one another in the difficult reality of the world that we live in. And so don't miss out. Relationships are hard and they're messy. This is kind of a funny proverb. Where there is no oxen, the manger is clean. But abundant crops come through the strength of the ox. So if there's no cattle in the stall, guess what? It's clean. If there are cattle in there, guess what's all over the floor? A mess. Dung. People make a mess. It's messy. But it's worth it. It's worth it. That's what it's saying. It's worth it. Don't settle for what I would call a superficial substitute, which is the digital world, the digital reality. It's superficial. It's only skin deep. It's like just what you see. Don't miss out on intimacy. That's not intimacy. You are not in an intimate relationship with the person that you're viewing in pornography. You may think that you are. That is not intimacy. Do not miss out on intimacy with God and his people. And the last thing, in not wanting you to miss out, is that if you've been away, we want to welcome you back. We hope that you find this as your home, where we can grow together. There is no shame in coming back. There's no shame in admitting where we've been. It would just not be a good thing to stay out there trying to do this life on your own, or trying to do it through a digital replacement for what God has designed so beautifully. Let me pray. Father, we celebrate and welcome those who have been away. It's just so good to see you again. And maybe it's not that we've seen that person in this place. Maybe this is your first time here. But it's so good to see you. It's so good to have you with us. Lord, would you cause this place to be a welcoming place where your spirit is manifesting among us, that we would love well and we would lead people to the fullness of life that you're offering, that we wouldn't have to do this alone. I thank you that your word does confront, but not in a way that's condemning, but in a way that leads us to a better place. And so where we have bought into a Gnostic idea that it doesn't matter where we position our physical bodies, whether we're in church or out of church, Lord, I pray that you would move us towards you, and in that, towards your people. Lord, we love you and trust you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.